Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Call for Finding Your Why. The topic of today's conversation is finding your why, reconnecting actually to your why. And it's a really important topic to me. It's a topic that I think is underutilized in healthcare, and it's something that I would love to see more of in terms of, as a beginning part of an assessment with any client that we're working with, we do the why process, like find out why they're really here, why you really want what you are setting out to go for. So for example, if you have a particular health goal, say you want to lose 15 pounds, or you want to improve your energy, or you want to get off a particular medication or get out of pain, whatever those immediate time now kinds of things that you want to go for, there's always an underlying, there's always a level below it. But we really don't spend enough time, I believe, in our day-to-day lives or in medical practices where people are helping you and analyzing you, or in health coaching does it a little bit more, to find out why you want it. Here's the reason it's important. If you want a certain thing, if you desire a certain thing, and you set out on a path to get it, but you really don't know why, you're really not connected to your why. You may know why on a deep core level, but you're not connected on a conscious level to what that why is. It's very easy to go off course when we see bright, shiny objects. So if I have a goal, let's just take it out of the health realm. I have a goal to get from here to Houston for just a hangout in Houston day. And I'm on my way to Houston, and I see this most amazing event happening at the side of the road. Like, it looks like it's a carnival. It looks like they have all kinds of holistic health items. It looks amazing. There's a swimming pool. I mean, it looks like stuff that I really like. I could say, well, I'm going to Houston, but I don't really know why. I'm just going there to hang out for the day. Or I could go off to this thing that looks so great to me. And so I'm more likely, if I don't have a real reason for going to Houston, to go, heck, I'm going to stop here. This looks like a great thing. But if I had a meeting that I was supposed to go speak to someone in Houston at a particular time of day, and I was on my way, and I had, you know, the appropriate amount of time to get there, would I stop and do that? The answer is, of course not, unless I'm a totally irresponsible person. I would keep that commitment, right? I would say, oh, wow, I have this meeting. I'm going to go there. Now, if I knew that that meeting was flexible and I knew that I could bend on that, I might call the person and say, hey, is it okay if we do this meeting a little bit later so I can stop and enjoy this thing that I found along the way? I might do that. And that happens in our health goals as well, and I'll explain to you how that could happen. But I have that meeting. I'm not going to just blow off the meeting and go to this carnival. But whereas if I didn't have a real why as to why I was going to this destination, I might blow it off, right? Why? Who cares? This looks like more fun. That's what happens in our life. I really, really want to drop 15 pounds, and I'm on my path to dropping that 15 pounds. And suddenly, it's a birthday party. It's one of my favorite people in the world. And they're serving, you know, mango coconut cream pie. And they are serving my favorite martinis. And I go to this party. My commitment before I go to the party is I'm not going to eat the food that's not in alignment with my weight loss goals. But I go there, and it's so tempting that I may drop it. Now, personally, I wouldn't, because I'm beyond that in my health transition. But folks who are just starting out or don't really have that strong commitment to why they want to lose the weight may go off and enjoy the coconut cream pie with the idea that I can start my diet tomorrow. I can go back on my quote-unquote diet, my healthy eating plan tomorrow. What's another day going to cost me? Now, let's just take a different situation. You're on your way to this party, and your why is to drop 15 pounds. The reason that you are committed to dropping that 15 pounds is that you're going to be going to a particular event in about a week, and you have a dress that you're going to wear to that event, and you don't have enough money to go buy another dress, you're committed to looking good at this event. Are you more likely or less likely to go off plan with a stronger why? And that's a slightly stronger why, because there's a time commitment. I want to fit into this dress, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you take it a step further than that, why do you want to look good at this particular event, right? Why not just wear something else in your closet rather than this, you know, beautiful, very appropriate dress that you can't fit into anymore? You take it a step deeper, and it's that, there's someone going to be there that's, I don't know, an old flame, and you're really wanting to attract this old flame because you really think you could have a new relationship going on with there. Or someone from the office is going to be there, and you've been really trying to impress this person. That's a little bit deeper of a why. Like, you're really looking for that intimacy or that connection. And these are just, I'm just throwing these things out at this point. The why is so important because it helps you to stay on track with where you want to be. Like the why of, I have an appointment. I have to be in Houston by 12 o'clock for this appointment. And I wouldn't even consider going off the side of the road if this was a critical appointment with someone who was thinking about giving me a speaking gig where I could speak to 1,000 of my, you know, health practitioner clientele that I want to reach. I wouldn't even call that person and risk making a bad impression, because that's a huge why for me. Huge why is to reach health practitioners and help them to see the light on this different path of health coaching and health maintenance and health care. Whereas if it was I was meeting an old friend for lunch, I really wanted to see this old friend. I'm not going to blow them off and not go, but I may ask them to move it out to 2 minutes, right? So how committed are you to your why? This is super important. And what I see over the years, I've been in clinical practice, having a practice where I saw people one-on-one, and now doing stuff over the internet. I've been doing this for about 26 years as a licensed practitioner, and a few years before that as I was in training and working on myself. And in all those years, I've had people who I've sat down with across the road from, across the bench from, and said, here's what's going on with you, and this is super important, and let's get you on this plan. How committed are you? And they're like, yeah, I'm committed. And I would say that a percentage of them are truly committed, and they stick with it, and they make their goals, and they do really well. Then there's another set who are not committed, who try, and they try, and they try, but they haven't connected to really what's important. And when I sat down with this after many years of doing this, I go, what's the connection? What's the commonality between these people who end up doing super well and these other people who may have very similar situations and they don't do so well? And what I found was that commitment to the why. And so I've brought this into my programs. We do it in every single program. I brought it into teaching practitioners, and the practitioners are doing it with their clients. I mean, I know one in particular is now like teaching it to other practitioners because she's so in love with the results she's getting from it. But you, what's your why? So there's a book out. There's a book. It starts with why and then find your why by Simon Sinek. He did a really good TED Talk. If you haven't seen it, go to TED Talks and do a search on Simon Sinek. His last name is spelled S-I-N-E-K, Simon Sinek. And listen to his talk about how it makes a huge difference. He talks about it particularly in corporations, right? When you bring a team of people together and they're all committed to that same outcome, that same why, they're going to work like crazy to get that why. So what about in your own life? How do you find that why? Well, I love the book, Find Your Why. I have the book, and I actually gifted it to all my practitioners who, in NEPT, who came to the Shine Conference, and asked them to work on that. We're going to create, we haven't yet, but create a call where we're all going to work on our whys together, our whys for our business. Because you can have a why for your personal life, and you can have a why for your business. I have a whys for my personal life, and my personal life why has to do with having the freedom and the vitality to be able to just do whatever I want to do and not feel like, oh, I can't do that. I'm too tired. I can't, because of how it makes me feel to be able to be out in nature, to be able to connect with people. And I want to be fully present with all that. And I don't do anything that compromises that. Even my sleep, right? You guys know, if you've heard me before, that I'm not as good about sleep as I should be. But I do get to a point where I go, okay, I feel this now, right? And I should be doing it sooner, granted. Last night I slept from midnight to 8, straight through. I just like woke up at 8 and went, whoa, wow. Okay. Last weekend I felt like I've been pushing myself too hard. I went to bed and I slept 11 hours. And why did I do it? Because suddenly that lack of sleep was impacting my big why, my ability to feel good and be able to do whatever I wanted. I felt like, oh, I got to go to bed now. I'm really tired. I don't usually feel like that. So I made that commitment. And that was a big, big commitment to me. In my business life, my big why is to really have an impact on changing the paradigm of what we call healthcare, which is really disease management, into true healthcare, and training the educated consumers. Barney commercial when I was a kid, the educated consumer is our best customer, to educate people about their own bodies and how to take care of their own bodies and how to communicate with their doctors to get the kind of care they deserve, but also to train those practitioners. Because I see that suffering. I lost my parents and my sister prematurely. I've lost other relatives and friends because they weren't given the right information. And so I'm committed to changing that, to having an impact on human suffering. And even beyond that, when I sat with that one day and I really went beyond it, why am I really so committed to my why? Because I think that I am really committed to living in a peaceful and safe world. And we live in a world where there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of discomfort, there's a lot of violence. And there's a lot of misuse of the environment, and we all know that, with the Monsanto spewing out all kinds of crap into the environment. And my commitment is to living in a healthy, happy, safe world. And I believe that healthy, happy people are the key to peace on earth, to a safe world. Because really, healthy, happy people don't fight, nothing to fight about. They work out their differences easily, and there's no violence and hate. I think a lot of the violence and hate crimes that are happening are coming from people being completely out of balance, and their chemistry is out of balance, and it warps their brains, and they do crazy, violent things. So my commitment is really this big global commitment. And so I do what it takes. So what's your commitment? What are you so committed to that you're just willing to change whatever it needs to be changed and to make a difference? So I would suggest, as a starting point, this is what they suggest in the Find Your Why book, which I like, is to kind of sit down and look back and look at your life and look at different stories, different times in your life that stories stand out for you. And is there a common theme? Is there a common theme? They say to write your why in the my why is to X so that why. My why is to feel completely healthy and energetic and full of life so that I can contribute to the health and well-being of others and thus to a peaceful, healthy planet. That's my why. And that dictates everything that I do. What's yours? So what I want each of you to do right now is to, so what I want each of you to do today is to just sit down with, okay, what is, if I were to say to you, what's your why? Why are you here in this call? Why have you signed up to be in the Vital community or whatever other programs you're in with me? What is that why? Why are you dedicated to your health? And write that down. So everybody take a moment to do that. Once you have that down, some of you might be ahead of others, once you have that down, I want you to ask, why do I want that? Why do I want that? I want to lose 15 pounds. I want to have energy. I want to reverse my diabetes, right? Why do I want that? Go deeper. Why? If that happens, then what? What is it that will happen as a result of achieving that, that will give me, you know, more joy, peace, comfort, etc.? And once you get to that one, I want you to ask another question. I want you to keep going deeper and deeper until you get to this point that you say, oh, wow, that's it. And you get tingly. That's my why. It may be one deep. It may be two deep. It may be five deep. When you can get there and you say, why do I want this? It's because I want it. Right? It's because it will bring me joy. It will bring joy to others. It will allow me to make this connection and be present with my loved ones. Whatever that might be for you, but you have to go deeper. Can't just take that first one. And for some of you, it might be that very first one. But go deeper and deeper. And in the book, they talk a lot about how if you go back and you sit down with your stories, and that's a longer process than we have time for here, but sit down and set aside a half an hour for yourself to just kind of go through your life and say, okay, what are some stories that stand out for me? Oh, when I was four, you know, whatever. My grandmother died and I went to the funeral and I remember that feeling of when I was 10, you know, this happened. Or when I was 15, just like what stories really stand out for you? And some of them may not have anything to do with your why. And some of the more impactful ones might be what shapes your why. When I was 16, I had this bout of whatever disease, and I was laid up for a long time, and I wasn't able to move real easily, and I had a lot of pain. And my why not right now? And I wasn't able to do all the great things I wanted to do as a teenager, and I wanted to be in these volunteer organizations. I wanted to help people. I wanted to be on the soccer team. And that may shape what your why is now. So I would encourage you to do that. But for now, I would love to hear some of your whys. Like, why are you here? Just answer me that. What is it that you want? And I will help you. If you're on the phone, I will easily get on the phone with you and take you deeper. But what do you think? Can we throw some in the chat box?
Yes. I'll just be the primer for the pump. I won't go way deep. But this is something I've been working on a lot with myself lately. And then I can say that it's definitely my family and being out in nature. For me, and there's a book that it's not even a book you really read as much as absorb. It's called The Crossroads of Should and Must. And you know, we often hear, well, I should do this and I should do that. And where must comes in is when something grabs you by the throat and says, you must do this. And it ties in with your why, because when you've denied your why long enough, that when it grabs you and says, you must do this, you know, that becomes part of your passion. And that's not always pleasant. It sounds kind of funny, but it's not always pleasant when that happens. And you can't deny your why anymore. That proverbial 2x4 across the back of the head. And, you know, and it's better to acknowledge it when you first get that prompting, that little inkling. This talk here, whether you're listening to it live or recorded, when you listen to it, like you're saying, take that time for that quiet moment and don't be afraid of what your why is.
Yeah.
don't say, well, I know I know that's my why, but I really should be doing these other things. And I just encourage you to do that. When you find yourself at that crossroad, do what you must do, because there is only one you. You know, like Dr. Seuss, there is one you that is youer than you. There is one you that is truer than true. You know, and Popeye, I am what I am. And we need you. And so that, I'm grateful for this topic because it is one that has been grabbing me lately and saying, this is what you must do. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just spending more time with my family. And when it ever stops, knowing maybe I'll be outside a little more. But it's definitely my family.
Yeah.
So,
and
my
why?
Mom just had
why
did
you
get
family?
Yeah.
I would ask yourself that though, Lynn. Why is it that
why?
You want time with your family and you want to be out in nature? Why? Like, go deeper than that. What? Why?
It feeds my soul. It is who I am. It is the core of who I am. It is the root of who I am. One thing I discovered is if I am not in nature, I become malnourished. And so it's just another form of nourishment for me that my body, both physical, emotional, and spiritual, requires.
Yeah.
And the same thing with my family. It may be that right now my why is I need to spend time with my family. Like you said earlier, this could shift. Once I fill myself with this time with my family and I'm stated there, maybe I'll move over and do something else. But my family's just always my bedrock, whether it's my siblings, my parents, my husband, my children, any of them, mm-hmm. they're a strong connection for me, to me. And, so that was a great question though. Thank you.
Yeah, because really, I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Now, thinking about that in terms of the little fill in the blank that they put together. So for you, it sounds like it's too, spend time with my family and in nature so that I feel connected to my true self, so that I feel,
yep.
How would you answer that in those short words?
The essence of who I am is fulfilled.
There you go. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So I would recommend you do, Lynn, is to take a piece of paper or type it on the computer, print it out, big letters. You know, make it a pretty page. What are colors that you love, and print it out and have it visible to you in places where temptation pulls you away from that. Like for some, it might be the refrigerator that pulls them away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. For others, it might be at your desk or near your computer. And I would highly recommend that we do this and keep this aligned. There are things I keep around me in my desk to remind me. And I got this beautiful little plaque from one of our students in NEPT, Mara. And it just really, really reinforces for me some things that happen, you know, when we get our self-doubts. And I keep it handy, so I look at it. It says, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. And it reminds me of that. You know, so when you have things that are important to you and you find yourself being distracted away from them and onto, like I said, the bright, shiny objects, mm-hmm. then it's really nice to see that connection. And it may just be that you have that hanging by your desk and you say, before I go from this call to that call, before I go do this to that, I am going to get up and I'm going to go to the kitchen and I'm going to give my daughter a big hug, tell her I love her. And then I'll come back, Right. You spent time. Yeah. You connected. It doesn't mean that now suddenly you're going to quit your job and take your family away and go live in a little hut in the woods and just spend time together.
Right.
No, that's not fulfilling
right.
the rest of your life. But when you can do that and remind right. yourself, like for me, I keep my little Stairmaster close to my desk and I go, I need to exercise, but this thing just came up and I can't go for my run as I planned. I can get on that. I can run up and down the stairs.
Right.
If I remind myself right. of how important that is to me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all need those little triggers and those little reminders. And I'd recommend that you do that because there's always ways. There's, I see periodically when you're on a call, your husband will sneak in the room and
let him know.
Let him give you a hug. Invite that.
Oh, I do. I
yeah.
do.
Okay, good. Right? Because it nourishes you to get through the other things, right? The have-tos, which, you know, we all have have-tos that we have to do to earn money to be able to put food on the table and the roof over our head. So, you know, there's all that. And I love the thing what you said about the shoulds and the musts. When I was back in the day, when I was in my 20s, I didn't have cancer. I didn't have diabetes. I didn't have a heart attack. I didn't have any serious health issues. But I had brain fog and I couldn't make it through the day without the caffeine and I had sinus issues and I had stomach pain and I had headaches. Very common quote unquote symptoms that doctors say, why are you here? I need to handle serious people. Those what I call the tip of the iceberg symptoms. I didn't call them then that back then. I just knew that it was getting in the way of my big why, which was just to feel good and to be on and to do the things I loved to do. And I didn't like mm-hmm. it. So I made a decision to try to figure it out. And once I did, now I was in a really good job back then. I was a computer science person working for a big computer manufacturer, making a boatload of money and doing really well, getting promotions. And I was only 25 years old, 27 years old, something like that. But the call that hit me, right? It hit me. You got to quit this job. You're not living out mm-hmm. your destiny. You need to make it easier for people to get the results you just got. You need to go back to school and become a health practitioner and make a difference in this world. And it hit me. Right? It hit me so strong, maybe not in all those words, but it just was like this powerful, I need to do this. And I did. I quit my job. And I went back to school full time. And the rest of the story is history. If I had ignored that, like, oh, that's ridiculous. How am I going to support myself? What's going to happen? You know, well, how is this going to work? Then I wouldn't be here where I am today. And I wouldn't have been able to impact the tens of thousands of lives that I've been able to impact because I listened to that voice. I didn't wait for it to hit me over the head. I didn't wait for it to, you know, be 10 years later and go, oh, this job is miserable. I really want to be doing that other thing. I listened to the voice. And that's what I want to encourage you to do is tune into that voice, tune into that why, and listen to it. I don't want you to compromise your life for it. I want you to figure out how you can do it and create the balance in your life, right? I know people who have just like picked up and moved away and sold their house and lived off that and said, I'll figure it out. That's not in my, I have a control freak, so that wasn't in my thing. I had to figure it out. I had to lay it out. I had to figure out how I was going to pay for this. I was figure out what I was going to do, and I just did it. So it doesn't mean find your why. Abandon all reason and all, you know, logic to live it. But what is that why? What keeps calling you? What keeps calling you? Same thing with my health. When I learned about all the habits that I had that were hurting my health and I changed them and I cleansed and detoxified and fasted and I got my health back to a state where I never knew it was even possible. I felt better than ever. I was like, oh my goodness, why would I ever do anything to compromise this feeling, right? Why would I ever do anything? And that's when I made my commitment to being healthy and to making daily choices that were going to encourage that. Am I perfect? No, of course I'm not perfect. I sometimes eat late at night. I sometimes put cacao nibs in almond butter late at night when I know I have to stay up for another 3 hours and I'm just like feeling frustrated. I still have those tendencies. My my habits that I fulfill those urges on are healthy habits. So am I 100%? No. Is anybody 100%? Not that I know of. I haven't met them yet. So don't be hard on yourself if you're not 100% all the time. But the things that you know are compromising. I am 100% on never eating gluten, dairy, sugar, processed food. 100%. Because I know what that does to my body. And because I love how I feel right now. I love being in my 60s and being fit and being able to go out and do whatever I want whenever I want to do it. I love that feeling. I love that feeling of being able to be so on in my head that I can help people to figure out their challenges and what to do. I love that. Will I ever give that up? No, I won't. No, I won't. So I want you to feel so in love with your why, so in love with that goal that you just say, I'm not compromising it for that 30 seconds on my tongue of chocolate cake. It ain't worth it, right? Nothing tastes as good as healthy feels, and I'm not compromising what I want most for what I want in the moment. So I'm going to look to see if anybody else, if you have anything you want to share. Star two. Yeah, absolutely. I'll open up Maya's arm. Yes. And anybody else, star two will raise your hand and I'll open up your line. Hi, Maya.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, greatly appreciating the things that you said and having this call to connect to the why, because, you know, it comes and goes, and it was with Lynn talking about nature, because when we got to the part about stories and things that you've told yourself, what came up for me was being 6 years old, standing on the edge of a mountain and a cliff and saying, I can't trust any people. The only thing I can count on and trust is animals and nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a real, really strong, you know, foundational piece of my life.
So how do you think that impacted you, Maya?
Well, I mean, that was sort of, you know, at a point, I think I had mentioned before, where I was suicidal as a child. That was that moment. And so, yeah, I mean, it obviously has affected my reaching out for relationships. I've been, you know, pretty content just being on my own for decades in terms of a mated relationship. So even though, you know, on the other hand, to me, if you ask me what the most important thing about life, it's not about the money you make. It's not about career or anything like that. It's the connections you make with people. So, you know, it's a really interesting dichotomy.
Oh, it is. And I think, though, so if we can reframe it, maybe, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you look back to that time in your life when you made that decision that you can't trust any people, only animals, it sounds to me, based on what you said about connection being so important to you, is that at that point you felt betrayed, you felt rejected, you felt like there was nobody in your life at that point who really got you and could support you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you wanted it really badly. You wanted it so badly, but it wasn't there. So I don't think there's a dichotomy. I think that what's happened is some of your behaviors that have been shaped from that betrayal of trust, that inability to find those people, has shaped your trust in that, you know, who you're going to find. You want it, but you're scared of it, right? You want it, mm-hmm. but you're scared of it because you're scared of that betrayal or rejection or whatever else you might have had in your life. So you might want to sit with that and maybe even journal about your desire and why do you want that connection, and on ways to let go of that lack of trust. Like, what would have to happen for you to be able to go, I want this so much, and I'm going to risk at this point. I'm going to risk. because I think what I see is you've created a relationship in our community, and we all, you know, we have your back. We're all there, mm-hmm. right? And so,
well, I'm surrounded by lots of loving friendships. I mean, it's not that I'm a hermit. I mean, I have wonderful, wonderful friendships. So, yeah, it's only the mate that I don't have in terms of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel really grateful for that.
Well, that's good because then that is stuff that supports that child's perception as right now it's not true in your life. You do have people you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking if you just sit with it, you know, intellectually, you got it. But that kid that lives inside of you, that small injured child, still is maybe holding you back from those intimate relationships because of that fear that still exists. So it might be worth, you know, doing some inner child work, like sitting down. Sometimes when you sit down and write with your non-dominant hand and have a conversation with yourself with your dominant hand, what is it going to take to let go of that fear? What do you need to be able allow me to feel safe to walk into another relationship?
Right, because it's interesting that as the adult now, the other layer I put on it is, you know, the being, you know, the psoriasis especially, you know, it's like, nobody's gonna wanna be around me since I'm so covered with that, and the blindness and the overweight, and you know, so it's those physical things, you know, that are pushing my ability to reach out to at this point.
But what if, I'm gonna throw another monkey wrench in there. What if you've developed those things as safety nets and excuses?
Right. I mean, that's exactly protect why yourself. I'm bringing it up.
Right. Yeah. So what if you can sit with it and really have this intimate conversation with your inner child and really make a decision that it's safe? It's safe to go into that emotionally and then continue to do your, you know, your work on those physical things. But there's so much stuff with you, Maya, that doesn't gel what you do, right? Like you work hard at this particularly, and yeah, you don't sleep enough, and yeah, you've got a lot of that stuff, right? So those are one thing from the physical plane you can work on, but you do work really hard at this, and there is a commitment, yet you're not getting the results as quickly as you would like to. And I believe that maybe you can work on that other piece, because it may just be a protection, and your body's created all these elaborate biochemical things. Not that your psoriasis isn't real, not that, you know, the blood sugar imbalance isn't real, but your body has created those things as an emotional protection. I'm just throwing it out there. You can take or leave whether you think it's valid or not, but I think it's something worth looking at.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the thing that's been really interesting to observe in the last couple of months is, you know me, it's like I don't stray from things in terms of, you know, the eating and the food and all of that. And I did in the last 2 months. I was eating things I normally never do, like gluten-free bread and pastry, and I think I've had ice cream and some eggs, and, you know, like I never eat that stuff, and I was eating a lot more food, you know, calorically. And I didn't gain any weight.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. You know, it just makes me insane. It's like I work so hard and just like.
Well, that's a good thing to know. So here's the thing, right? So now you've upped your metabolic rate because you've incorporated more calories. The worst thing you could do is to go back to your 600 calorie a day healthy diet.
No, I don't say that. I'm doing the fast mimicking diet this week.
Okay, no, that's good, but you alternate, right? The fasting mimicking diet is great to do, but it's not a day-to-day thing, right?
Right.
It's not like you're going to do it permanently, and then you go back to eating well. But you have to mm-hmm. eat, like we talked about in the past, enough fat, enough calories mm-hmm. that you don't put yourself into starvation mode. And the fasting mm-hmm. mimicking diet is very specific. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to eating a normal caloric diet in between. Otherwise, you go into that shutdown mode, that metabolic shutdown mode, if you do it too much.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm glad you're doing that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Okay. Yeah, but work on that emotional piece, Maya, because I think that, you know, having that conversation with your inner child, whether it be, if it is in writing, great. If it's not in writing, just do it mm-hmm. back and forth. Just sit with it. Just go into a quiet meditative state and just say, hey, child, how old were you at the time? 7, you said, or 10?
6.
Six. Okay. Hey, 6-year-old, I'd love to have a conversation. Can we have a conversation?
Yeah. No, I will do that. And the other thing that came up that was really interesting was one of, I think, a huge core piece of all of this, too, is that, like, by my nature, I put everybody else first.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, it's really difficult for me to put myself first. And I think, you know, just like, obviously, the oxygen masks on the airport, you know, airplanes, it's that thing. But it's just been so difficult for me to break that.
Yeah.
I have to figure out, like, or commit to doing that and being aware of it in the moment.
And committing to that, I think, is tied with what we just talked about. Because if you think about it, part of it could be trying to win other people's love because you felt so unloved and you didn't have that support as a child. So part of it, you're trying to win people over by putting them first, right? And then part of you is just feeling the I don't deserve it, right? And if you, I think sitting with those emotions can be super important, really important.
Right. Great. I agree. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maya. Thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing. I think it's helpful for others to hear, as well as I think it's helpful for you to speak it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thank you.
All right. Sure. Thank you for all these years of support.
I'm here for you.
Great. Thanks.
Joan.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to thank Maya for sharing everything that she shared because I have so many things in common with Maya. And so you weren't, Dr. Rita Marie, you weren't speaking just to Maya, you were speaking to me as well.
Oh, thank you.
And so there's a reason why I was on this call today, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes back to Lynn, you know, what she said about trusting. Like if you said, oh, I have this other thing to do. I don't need to be on that call. I'll catch the recording if I want it. And then there was something that drove you to get on the call. And we all need to just tune into those because there's so much, and I get to tear up with this one. There's so much inner knowing that we all have, but we've been trained to ignore that. To just do what we have to do for other people, take care of other people, take care of our job, take care of the house, do the dishes. And we don't like allow what that need is to tune in. And so, I really admire you for listening to that.
Yeah. So part of me, what hit me when you said that was that we get driven by our to-do list.
Yeah.
And which doesn't validate what we need to be doing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we need to be doing for ourselves.
For ourselves, right. The self-care, right.
Yes. Yeah. Self-care.
Unless you put self-care rituals on your to-do list.
Yes. So I find that my, I started my why discussion in terms of my business. And so I find that I am, you know, while it would be nice to have an income, and that hasn't started yet, but having a pension and not having to go to a job allows me some flexibility of time. And it's easy for me to say, well, I'm going to make some soup now, you know, because, well, I have to cook. And to get distracted, and I love, like Lynn, I love being outdoors. And if I'm doing a business, I won't spend nearly as much time outdoors as I like to. I like to dig in the garden. But it's easy to get distracted is my point, and to do other things, especially if I get stuck. I'm doing something, it's like, well, I don't know whether I should do this or that. I'm not sure how to do that. I'll just do something else instead.
Exactly. It's the distraction techniques, and we're all really good at distraction techniques. I mean, look at the amount of money the sports industry gets and the TV and the movies, right? Those are distractions, right? We want to get away from our own life and get absorbed in someone else's. And not to say going to movies is bad, but people who are every night, they're sitting in front of that TV. It's distracting away from what you want most. And so here's how to combine some of that, in my opinion. So being out in the garden, it's starting to be spring. It may not be in your neck of the woods quite yet, but maybe in the next week or two, you're going to see like really great days for going out and starting to dig in the garden. And what if
I already have.
All right, great. So what if you built that into your day and you blocked off these 3 hours, I'm going to work on my business not in 3 hour chunks, in 1 hour chunks. If everybody would get in the habit of working in an hour chunk or 50-minute chunk, 10 minutes of self-care, go outside, put your head up to the sun, do sun salutations, whatever it might be for you, get some water, come back and work again. They call those power hours. And you get more done in the next hour than you would have had you just sat there and trudged through. So I would encourage you to do that and use those 10-minute blocks inside of your business thing to go out and stick your feet in nature. You know, just go out there. And then you block off other times. This is my gardening time. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a structured person. I don't like schedules, believe it or not. And my scary wife is so scheduled. So I would put it in and then with the flexibility that, you know what? It's really beautiful this morning. And this afternoon, it's going to be thunderstorms. So I'm just going to swap my work on my business time with my go out in the garden time. Like have that form and structure, but flexibility to it. And just map it out and map out those times. And when you see them there, you move it around. I did this with myself. I did it with, I call it on my calendar, SCT, self-care time. And I just take these blocks and I put them on my calendar. And then I look at it, and if something comes up where there's a really important meeting that I need to go to or somebody wants to, and it's right in the middle of the self-care time, I move the self-care time. I don't get rid of it. I move it. I create flexibility. So I think that if you just start to look at your calendar and look at what are the important rocks, what are the big rocks, as they say in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, what are those big rocks? The big rocks sound like some set number of hours a day or every other day to really work on your business, like work on the planning. And if something gets tough, then you're going to, instead of distracting yourself and going to make soup, you can put in making soup time as well. You can then say, I need to take a little break to go out and be in nature for a few minutes. And then keep the threads going. Keep it going. In terms of the thought process, what's get stuck? Who can I call to get this unstuck? Where can I look? What website can I visit? But when you start to feel that stuckness, do the thing that refreshes you the most, which is get outside. Sometimes I just go down. I have a hot tub and a pool outside in the wintertime. They're too cold to go into. But water refreshes me. So in the summer, if it's warm and I just don't have time to go put on my bathing suit and go for a swim, I got a 5-minute break here. I want to refresh myself. I'll just go down, take off my shoes and socks. Well, I won't be wearing shoes and socks in the summer. I'm sticking my feet in the water and then going out. In the winter, I'll even go and put some water in the tub and just put my feet in water. What is it that refreshes and rejuvenates you? Build that into your day. Okay?
Yep.
Good. Was that helpful?
Yes, makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. Hi. Anybody else want to share why? Let me see if there's any in here. Okay. Let me scroll down. Marcy. Okay, Maya. Marcy. Okay, so I don't see any more. If I would highly encourage you guys to really tune into your wife. If you want to listen to Simon Sinek on Facebook, on a Facebook TED Talks, go for it. It looks like Laura just raised her hand. I think it's Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Rita Marie.
I see Waterbury, Connecticut, so I know that that's you. I assumed it was you.
Yes, it's me. So my big why is, well, to start, I really enjoyed listening to Maya and John and Lynn. They all touched me, and I was reading myself in there as well, and with what you were saying. So I greatly appreciate this morning being here with you all.
Wonderful.
And my big why is to live fully. You know, to live fully, to have energy like éclatant, like sunshine energy, and to the others, Maya, to connect with others through that energy. And so I chose to be a guide healer. So I thought that was my big why, but listening to you today, I think my big why is to express my soul fully in this lifetime.
So that, I'm going to have you add the so that, like I had with Lynn, and I interpreted Lynn's so that for her, but to live fully and have lots of energy, sunshine energy, so that.
So that I feel peaceful within.
So I feel peaceful within. Awesome. Yeah. I love that. I love it.
Yeah, I feel.
Right? And when you feel something directing you away from that, like feeling all flustered because you may not know exactly the order to take your supplements, or you're not sure you caught all the, you know, the nuances of whatever, right? Is to calm yourself down and say, my goal is to live fully so that I can feel peace. And right now, I'm feeling chaos. You know, breathe, do your heart math, do a mini meditation, go put your feet in the earth. I know you, it's working with your hands is super important, and create something. What is it that you can do to take when you notice that there's some inside turmoil? How do you let it go? And it doesn't mean by getting your questions answered, because that's just a Band-Aid, right? No, how can I live peacefully inside, even if some of my questions are not right, quite answered yet?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I love when I see you, you know, I've seen you over the last few years. And when I see you more recently, I do see that serenity and peace on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I think we're done. If you have a question, go for star 2 on your telephone, and I will open your line. If you have anything you want to share on the chat, go for it. Let's see. Connections keep cutting out. Darn. Yeah, I saw you on there twice, Marcy. Connections are all, yeah, if you're on with the internet, it's, yeah, she's on with the internet. Do you want to open your line, Marcy? Marcy? Hi. Huh. I don't know if you're having trouble with your connection, but the web is very, like when it happens with the web, it's often a bandwidth situation or your internet provider or something along those lines. I don't know if she hears me. I hear something happening on her end. Baby. Oh, sweet.
Oh, there we go, guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't.
Yeah. Well, it says it's muted, so I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. Don't trust it.
It's backwards, so I hope I don't ever get the baby crying while you're trying to talk.
Well, I'll just make, if I hear the baby cry while I'm trying to talk, I will mute it, but I will mute. But I love babies, so I like hearing baby cries. I don't have babies anymore. I miss them.
Yeah. So she's doing much better. Thank you to you and Lynn. I really appreciate that, the information that you guys gave me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Okay. So just a quick why. This little gal is my why, especially since she had a hard start. So it's, you know, I want my family to be healthy and, you know, thriving. And so that's my why. It's really pretty pertinent to me.
It's a huge why. And it's a huge why when it comes to, like, your own self-care. Certainly when it comes to her care, like, you want her to be healthy and happy, and you're going to make the best choices for her because she can't make her choices herself. But it also, I think it's important for moms to, when their kids are that big why, and that was a big why for me when I was little, when they were little, it's like really, that reinforces the need for self-care. Because you got to be there for her because she can't do it on her own.
And oh, cool. Yeah.
Best you can be. And when I see parents just like, you know, eating crap and trying to feed their kids better, but maybe not knowing what to do, it breaks my heart because I know, you know, I know what it's like. I've seen it where people lose those parents, right? Or the parent becomes disabled, becomes so fatigued that they can't take care of the baby. And I think it's awesome for you to have that child as your big why right now.
Yeah, we're learning a lot.
Glad you are.
And just one of the things that has happened, several months now, she is really going after the green drinks.
Yay!
In the morning. So it's so funny because she'll eat stuff you know, after dinner or during dinner, and then she gets so excited when we start to make shape.
So,
those are the joys. Those are the joys that really make your why worthwhile.
I have a picture on my grief cleanse page of my son with his friends, and they were probably five. I don't remember how old they were in the picture, but they all have mustaches, green mustaches. And my nephew, who's now 9 or 10, my son is almost 20. But they have all those friends and the baby there with their green mustaches. And it's like such a joy to see them, you know, taking care of themselves like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is your daughter?
This is my granddaughter, and she's one.
Yeah. Nice. Great.
Well, thank you for listening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And don't feel, you know, she can come on calls anytime. If she's crying too much, we'll just, you know, we'll just mute you. No problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
All right. I think that's it. We are at our hour, and I'm really happy. Avis says it's a good call from you, too. Hey, Avis. Glad to hear it. So I'd love to see you guys. What I'd love you to do is to really work on this why for yourself and be able to come down to a statement of 2X, so that why, and then post it, please, in the chat, the Facebook page. Okay, and post it there for everybody to see. And when you can commit out loud to your why, it makes it more real and you're more likely to stick with it. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to open up your line so we can say goodbye, whoever is still on. And thank you so much for being here. I hope this was useful, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Have a great day. You're welcome. Bye.